What I'm going to be sharing today is just, you know, I really wanted to do something very deep and something very complicated. I literally have, you know, 1,001 things I can teach on relationship and marriage, especially for single people. And but I just felt in my heart I should go back to the basics. So I'm going to share from one of my books, one of my first books. It's titled "Who Should I Marry?" I think I wrote this book about 15 or close to 20 years ago, about 20 years ago, or thereabout, about 20 years ago. You know, so so most times I really don't teach from here much anymore. You know, I just felt, oh, these are basics and everybody knows them. But the more I counsel troubled couples, the more I find out that the challenges of those days are still the challenges of these days. It is that people are ignoring the basics. The Bible said we should not ignore the landmarks laid by the elders, that we cannot ignore those lines that the elders laid. And that is very important. I discovered that the same challenges are still prevalent today. People are ignoring the basics, all right? They're ignoring the basics. And I felt led in my heart in this conference to go to the basics. So maybe when I come for a physical session, we'll go to other realms and other dimensions. But today, I just feel that there's somebody watching that needs to be reminded of the basics. Listen, guys, marriages don't fail in marriages. Or how will I say? Marriages don't fail when the marriage has started. It doesn't fail inside the marriage. Marriages actually fail before the marriage. Most marriages fail before the marriage starts. That's when it fails. Because the foundation is already faulty. The foundation is already faulty. That's why marriages fail. You know, I always share, you know, these stories of how I did marathon when I was in, not marathon, 1,500. It's a long distance race when I was in secondary school. You know, I literally, you know, broke all the principles, did not go to train. You know, I had some useless friends. You know, I usually say you can't successfully fail without having useless friends. I had some useless friends that were encouraging me, you know, not to go for proper practice. And I eventually did that race. And of course, I came last. In fact, I didn't finish. You know, and there's nothing mysterious about that because my foundation was wrong. What's the point I'm trying to make? I'm trying to say that the basics is where the action really is. The scripture is clear about this. It said, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? There's nothing the righteous can do. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So we're going to just try and lay some foundations, you know, on the basics. Because for the singles, we're talking about finding the one. Finding the one. We're going to talk about the basics. I look at my marriage today and you know, without trying to be proud or boastful, I am married right. I married a good woman. I married the best woman for me. You're going to be seeing her in a few minutes when I'm done. You know, she's here, excited. But, you know, I married a good woman. She's the first woman I dated, first person I dated as a Christian. You know, so maybe because I was already, you know, inclined to relationship issues, I was already teaching about marriage. Maybe, I'm just saying that maybe that's why I kind of knew what I was looking for. You know, so I at the point I began to feel, oh, everybody should know these things. And more I run into people with troubled marriages, I discover that the issue is with the basics. So I'm going to start with the basics. If you're going to find the one, you know, what are the things you are supposed to look for? Because that's what determines how far the marriage will go. Marriage is broken down this way. 50% is tied to who you marry. You know, the other 50% is tied to how you marry. Okay, 50% is tied to who you marry. The other 50% is tied to how you do the marriage. Okay, so that's how it works. Okay, so some people have already lost 50% of their marks by marrying the wrong kind of person. And no matter how you try, that limits you in terms of, you know, how you do the marriage. So this is the key, marrying right. There are 10 C's in this book. Of course, I can't finish the 10 in the time I have. I'm just going to lay a foundation. My wife will come and continue, you know, after this. Because what we are trying to do with is finding the one. For single people, that's your major thing you need to know, how to find the one. So, this is how it works. Number one, if you are a believer, first thing is Christ. That's C. First C, Christ. That's number one. Please marry someone that is in Christ. I cannot overemphasize this point. Marry someone that is in Christ. That's the first C, Christ. For many people, marrying a Christian is an option for them. For many people, you know, marrying, you know, just somebody in any religion, it's an option for them. No. The Bible is clear about these things. You know, people have made marriage look so hard. It's because people are ignoring the details. They are ignoring the rules. Marriage is not hard. Marriage is not difficult if you follow the guidelines. The guidelines are spelled out in Scripture. There is no superhuman. There is no superhero. The guidelines are clear. The guidelines are clear. So number one, marry somebody in Christ. Marry a Christian. Why is that important? Why is that important? Why did God put that as a major, major criteria? It is important because you can't marry someone that is not your kind. When somebody is a Christian, it means that they have the Spirit of God operating in them. That might look like a small thing, but you need to realize what makes a marriage work is not just the love you have for each other. Your security in marriage is not in that your spouse loves you. No. It's in that your spouse loves God. There are many things they won't do to you if they fear and respect God. It's very, very important. People think that, oh, we love each other. I love him. He loves me. That's all that matters. No, that is not all that matters. Everybody in a crisis marriage today thought at one time that they were loved. Thought at one time that they loved each other. Human love is never enough. It's never enough. That's why you need the love of God. The Bible said the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. That's the supernatural ability to love another human being in spite of their flaws. That's what God gives us. That's what the Spirit of God gives us. The ability to love another person. There are things I won't do because I'm being held to a higher standard. Not just the standard of what my wife or husband thinks, but the standard of God. Very, very, very important. Romans chapter 5 verse 5. It says, hope make it not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad. That means that ability to love like God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. So if you're a born again Christian, what has happened to you is that you are not just a better person. You are a new person. You are not just an upgraded old man. You are a new man. You're a new creature. What God has done is that he has changed your heart. He has changed your heart. I don't know if you can understand this. You see, this is why sometimes when I see a believer that wants to marry an unbeliever, I even doubt if that believer ever had a genuine salvation experience. Because I knew who I was before I became born again, and I know who I am now. And I will not marry my old self. Before I became born again, I was smoking weed. I was going to brothels. I was carrying a pistol from secondary school. That's how bad I was. University wasn't that whether we're going to join cult or not. No. It was sure. The only problem we had was which of the cults were we going to join? Because we were already, you know, heavy guys in the business before I was university. I already had a pistol from secondary school. So this is not a joke. So I was determined that I would go to university and I would kill people, and worst case, I would be killed. That was my thinking. But today, the same me that wanted to kill people, now I'm spending my whole life saving people. Something has changed. And from within, it's not something I'm struggling to be. I'm a different person. All right? The same me that used to steal money, now I give. It's just a change of heart. Now, the twist to this, the flip side to this, is that when somebody's not born again, there's also a spirit at work in him. You need to get this, guys. There's a spirit at work in him. You see that in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 1. It said, and you had he quickened, that means you had he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Next verse. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the cause of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. It says, the spirit that now worketh in the children of the soul. So there's a spirit at work in everybody. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. If you are not born again, you have the evil spirit. The spirit that now worketh. So if you want to marry somebody that's not born again, you need to know that you're marrying somebody that has a different spirit. And very soon, those spirits will clash. That's very important. Look at verse 3. Let me just read that. He said, among whom also we had our conversational behavior in time past, in the lust of our flesh. This is how unbelievers live. Everything they live is limited to the flesh. It's not their fault. Because they don't have a spiritual existence, they are limited to just enjoying life only in the natural, only in the physical. He said, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Even as others. So this is where you're coming from. You can't say you've had a real salvation experience and you find that you really want to marry an unbeliever. You can't do that. All right? You can't do that. Very, 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 very important. So number one is that the person must be in Christ. The Bible is so clear about this. You see the 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 say we can't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. It's there. See what they said. They said, what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness. See how they're defining it. He said, and what communion had light with darkness. Next verse. It says, and what agreement, that's concord. What agreement had Christ with Belial? And of what part had he that believed with an infidel? So this is just clear everywhere. If you are a born-again Christian, please marry another born-again Christian. And I know most people get desperate sometimes. Maybe you're a lady, you are in your 30s now, time is running out, and you just say, man, you know, so far and a man. You know, do you know so far and a man? You guys are British, so you might not know so far and a man. You know, you just think, oh man, I just have to marry, I'm getting old, I'm getting parental pressure, all that. Hey guys, listen, there's more to life than just marrying. Who you marry is more important than marriage itself. Very important. Let's move quickly. Number two, what you should look out for. If you're going to pick someone you want to marry, what you have to look out for is character. That's the second C, character. Please look out for the person's character. I didn't even know, like I said, for a while, I wasn't teaching these things, but I felt they are the basics. Everybody should know it. But every day I run into somebody in a crisis marriage, I discovered they totally ignored these principles. Marry someone that is a born-again Christian. Secondly, watch out for their character. Because it's not everybody that says they are Christians that are living the Christ-like life. And they are usually red flags. I know some people try to paint it that you never know. Some people pretend so well. I don't think so. Only in very rare cases will somebody really, really deceive you. Most cases, and I do this for literally for a living. I literally counsel hundreds of people every year. You know, if not thousands, and I've done this for about 25 years. Trust me, in most cases, almost all cases I've seen, the signs were there. Somebody just chose to ignore the red flags. When you hear my wife's part of this teaching, you understand. God will never leave you stranded if you are really open to guidance. Watch out for their character. Nobody can pretend for that long. Watch out for their character. What's their character like? It's not everybody in Christ that has godly character. It's not everybody in Christ that has a godly character. I usually say church is like a hospital. It's not everybody that is in church that is, a worthy candidate. It's not everybody in church that is a worthy candidate. A church is like a hospital. That's why we always recommend that if you want to marry somebody in a church, talk to the chief medical officer of that church. Talk to the pastor of that church. He has people's files. He knows the people that are responding to treatment and those that are not responding to treatment. Trust me, we know them. There are people that we know how they were when they came. We know their mindset. And we know whether they are changing or they are not changing. Check their character. If somebody is verbally abusive today, he will become physically abusive tomorrow. Check their character. Are they rebellious? Are they faithful? Are they into fraud? Today, people are defending Yahoo. They are defending fraudulent behavior. People are looking at people that have clear character issues and you want to marry them. I'm not saying they are bad people, but they have to go and sort their character. It's not you that will deal with it. They have to go and get sorted in their character. Don't think you can change anybody. Don't think you can change anybody. You can't change anybody. All right? Marriage is as is. When you marry somebody, it's as is. You inherit all assets and liabilities. So you need to make sure that the person has basic Christian character. Not, of course, people will not be perfect. They will have little flaws here and there. But it must be things that are within reasonable confines. Oh, maybe the guy is not a great communicator. He can learn that. Maybe the lady is a bit laid back. We can motivate. But when it becomes a character issue that has existed and unwilling to change, that is clearly pointing to the fact that they are not really followers of Jesus Christ, then you need to think twice about it. You need to think twice about it. Character. Okay, so let's move. Number three, companionship. Companionship, third C. Please marry your friend. Marry your friend. Marry your friend. What do I mean by this? This means don't look for a wife and try to make her your friend. Instead, look among your friends and make one your wife. All right? Marry your friend. Now, of course, I know you can't marry all your friends. I'm not saying just any of your friends you see, though. But I'm just trying to say, even if you meet the person, even if, let's say, they introduce you to someone, please do friendship first. Just say, let's be friends. Let's talk. Anybody that can make it as your friend can make it as your spouse. I don't know what single people think married people do. What we largely what we do in marriage is friendship. There's nothing more than what than that. That's what we're doing. You know, single people think, these married people, they're just having sex morning, afternoon, night. I'm laughing at, for you. That's not what we do. That's not what we do at all. In fact, as couples get older, the sex becomes few and far between. It starts to reduce once a week, once a month. There are even people that are doing once a year. Now, I'm telling you, so it's not about sex. It's not also about praying together that I want a prayer partner. That's great, but hey, sometimes when you marry, the husband might be a night person, the wife might be a morning person. So they might never even have time to pray so much together. The bulk of our time is in friendship. Marry your friend. Friendship is so important. The Bible said a friend sticks closer than a brother. It said his friend is there for you at all times. At all times. Friendship is powerful. And I tell people, because I'm going to talk to the married people about conflicts a bit in the marriage session. And one of the things I was saying there is that the strength of a marriage is not tested by how you love, it's tested by how you fight. I'll say that again. The strength of a marriage is not tested by how you love, it is tested by how you fight. And that's where friendship comes in. The strength of a marriage is not tested by when you agree, it's tested by when you disagree. So you see some people that claim they were in love, and once there's some disagreement, things go from 0 to 100. You will see a married couple telling each other, bastard, stupid, idiot. I'm telling you, the kind of things I hear, couples telling each other, you stink, you are mad, you are a fool, are you okay? You'll be wondering, so where is the relationship? When you see a couple that really has a strong base of relationship, even when they disagree, they still care for each other. In fact, some couples, and I don't hope this happens to you, but if you see couples that have strong friendship, even when they divorce, they are still cordial. They can even discuss all kinds of things with each other. Because they are still friends. They're just something irresistible and unbreakable about the real friendship. You guys just can't keep malice for long. Because this is your friend. Marry your friend. I'm not a big fan of dating sites. I'm not a big fan of introducing people to each other. But I know that happens in our world today. That's fine. But if you introduce somebody, please don't just jump into marriage. If you go to the dating site, don't just jump into marriage. Please test the friendship. Can we just talk? Do we have anything to talk about? Do we have anything in common? Do we respect each other? Do we even like each other's company? Just talk. All right? Just talk. Basic talk. Very important. Because friendship sustains a marriage. All right? Friendship. I will end my session by saying this. There are about 10 C's and I couldn't go into all of them. But I've talked about Christ. I've talked about character. I've talked about companionship. Let me quickly mention compatibility. Compatibility. it matters. It's not everything and everybody you are compatible with. Somebody can even be a Christian and you guys still not be compatible. Somebody can be in your church there and you are not compatible. It's not every human being. Human beings are so deep and so diverse. So it's not every human being you can fit with. The Bible is clear. Amos 3:3 says, two can walk together except they be agreed. And marriage is a walk forever. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3. So there's no way we can walk together if we don't agree. And what does compatibility mean? It doesn't mean similarity. It just means ability to get along. So it's compatibility doesn't mean that we must be similar. What it means is that we must be able to get along. So for instance, a pen and a pen cover are not similar, but they are compatible. They fit in. When you're not writing with the pen, you can cover the front side. When you want to write the pen, you can still put the cover at the top. You see that they go together. They function together. They are helping each other. That's what I'm trying to talk about. So compatibility doesn't mean similarity. It doesn't mean we are the same. It just means we go together. For instance, my wife likes to cook. I like to eat. We are compatible. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? We are compatible. All right? So do we agree on basic things? Do we get along on basic things? I've seen couples that and people that are dating, a guy wants to have children. He's dating somebody that says, just want any children. You are not compatible. You are going to have big issues. You guys are not having the same kind of dreams. One person wants to live in one country, another one to live in another country. You're not compatible. You need to discuss the basic things. How do we see money? How do we see church? You know, there's some people that say, oh, church is in the heart. And it's only Christians that say that. Footballers don't say that. They still go to stadium. No matter how much Arsenal loses, people are still going to the stadium. Glory to God. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So let me end by saying this. If you can get the book, please get the book, Who Should I Marry? It will be a blessing to you. I couldn't go into everything. And there are about 10 C's there. The book's available on Amazon and all that. So let me say this. Human beings are broken into three parts. I'm trying to help you get it right. And this is how I was able to find my wife. It was simple. My wife will share the spiritual dimension because for her, it was more a spiritual experience. For me, it was a knowledge experience. I knew what to look out for and I knew how to look out for it. Of course, there was a God part because God had to lead me, but I knew what I was looking for because I met a lot of nice people before that time. But I could tell these were not the kind of people I would marry. I could tell. So, human beings are broken into three aspects. You have your spirit, you have your soul, you have your body. If you're going to marry someone that you'll be happily married to, you need to make sure we are compatible in these three areas. I see that people just marry anybody they find. That's not how this works. The journey is too long. The journey is just too long to marry just anybody you find. So there are three aspects to this. Spiritually, do we agree? Are we both saved? Do we believe in the same kind of things, spiritually speaking? All right? Do we agree? Some people, that's where their journey should even end. It should not go beyond that. Once we see that we are too apart spiritually, maybe one is born again, the other is not born again. Maybe both are born again, but their beliefs are too wide apart. You attend a church where guys wear earrings and do dreads, and the woman attends a church where women don't even wear earrings. You are not going to be compatible. It sounds funny, but I see cases like that. A guy will call me and say, tell my wife she must not wear earring because in our church we don't wear earring. I say, you left all the women that don't wear earring in your assembly and you went to another church to marry where they wear earring. Why don't marry amongst your people? All right? So spiritually, do we agree on the basic things? That's one side. Second one is in your soul, mentally. Can we talk? Are we friends? Do we flow? Do we have things in common? Do I enjoy talking to this person? Do I get tired talking to this person? Is that we don't have anything to talk about? Then third one, physically. So you need to get at least 2/3. Most times you can even get 3/3 if you are patient and you can wait with God. But anything less than 2/3 is a bad sign. It's failure. If it's only physically you like the person, and you guys don't connect well emotionally, you don't connect well spiritually, That's a low mark. All right? In some cases, you can even have 2/3 and it's a weaker 2. It's the weaker 2. That means, yes, spiritually you guys go to the same church, believe the same things, and then you just like her physically, but emotionally and mentally, you guys don't connect. All right? If you check these three things, check where we line up. Can I spend time with this person? I've never needed to quote scriptures for my wife that, you know, the Bible says submit, or the Bible says women. No. We both had a basic spiritual foundation and we know what the word of God says. And we're both committed to living by the word of God. All right? The signs are always there. in the little things. And I think where people struggle the most in the area of their faith, because they think, oh, time is running out. Oh, I live in so-and-so country. They don't have enough eligible guys or eligible ladies in this country or in this community. You need to change that mindset. You don't know everybody in that community. You don't know everybody in your church. You don't know everybody in that country. And even if God needs to import a man or woman for you, he can do it. So you need to put your faith in God. All right? Put your faith in God and understand the basics so that as many people as cross your path, you'll be able to identify if this is the kind of person that you marry. It's not everybody that comes around you that you must marry. You need to understand that. Just because they come around doesn't mean you should marry them. That's what happened to Adam. The Bible said they brought all the animals to see what he will call them. You see, and Adam knew that these ones were not my spouse. So he named them. I said, whatever did he call them, that was the name thereof. And the Bible said, then they brought Eve to him and he named that differently. He said, this is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. Now, if he was not patient, he would have picked one of the animals. Meanwhile, there was Eve coming on the way. Look, God has a plan for you. God has someone special for you. My wife will share the story, how that, you know, God blessed her with a spouse, which is me. God has someone for you. God has a plan for your life. You know, God is not, he's not just thinking about you today. He has always thought about you. And he needs you to be in faith. He needs you to be in faith so that you will receive the man or the woman that he has for you. I'm going to pray with you and I'm going to stand in agreement with you right now that in this year, God will order your steps. God will lead you to that man or that woman in the name of Jesus. I break the power of delay. I rebuke the spirit of fear. Don't be afraid and don't be pressured that time is running out. This is your year. Be stable in your faith. Don't waver from side to side. Like James chapter 1 says, stand strong and ask in faith and you will see that God has enough resources. God is never short of resources. Our God is a God of abundance. David needed to kill Goliath and he picked 5 stones and used only one. There was 4 on reserve. Listen, God still has a second and a third and a fourth chance for you. No matter who you are, they are watching me. I stand in faith with you today that by God's miraculous power, this year will not pass you by. You will find and meet that man and that woman or that woman of your dreams in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that delay is broken from your life. And where they used to laugh at you before, they will laugh with you. Where they used to look down at you before, they will look up to you. Because God will use your own story and your own marriage as a positive example. And if you are here under the sound of my voice, you are in a negative or a wrong relationship. Grace to receive wisdom. Grace to see what to do and to know what to do and to do it. Released to you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. I hope you were blessed by that session. We'll go into the next session in a bit. God bless you.